The Corsican Brothers, based on the novel by Alexandre Dumas, written for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. While Pierre Gaudet is recovering from the attack he receives when he finds that his great friend Louis Prevost has a counterpart in Corsica, a counterpart who is in reality his twin brother, young Louis languishes in Paris, wrapped up in his love for the beautiful Amélie Latouche. He is totally unaware of the fact that he has a mother and brother living in direct contrast to his own luxurious life in the ruggedness and fierceness of Corsica. The young lady who has captured Louis Prevost's affections discusses him with her Aunt Cecilie as they sit alongside doing their needlework beside the huge Gothic windows in her father's country home.
So this young man finds favor in your eyes, Amélie? He is very handsome.
True.
But what's more important, he has background, my dear, and the opportunity to provide very comfortably for his wife.
I had no idea that he was so important, Aunt Cecilie. In every salon where I've met him, he's had so little to say. Jacques René, for instance.
Jacques René is a very nice young man, but there are no prospects there.
And will Monsieur Louis' uncle and aunt leave him everything, Aunt Cecilie?
Oh, what a little shrew you are, Amélie. 18 years of age and you talk of money already.
It is very important, Aunt Cecilie. It is money that bought René Dalmate her ermine cloak and her string of real pearls. One of these days, I shall have an ermine cloak twice as long as René's, and my pearls will be twice as big.
Tut, tut, child. To hear you talk like this, it's not right, 18 years of age. I must talk with your mother. You're not only developing into a veritable coquette, but now you seek for the highest bidder in matrimony. It's not right, child.
Not necessarily. You are unjust, aunt. After all, I cannot help it if the highest bidder is very handsome. Quiet, perhaps, but as handsome as any of the beaux who dance with me in the ballrooms in Paris.
So handsome, and yet so rich. He will be, in time. I know his uncle quite well. They've lavished everything on the boy. Eventually, he'll manage his uncle's estates, and they say that the country residence is the finest in France.
What an enchanting garden.
You talk of gardens, monsieur. All Corsica is a garden.
Are those wildflowers, Lucien?
Yes, monsieur. It is a sign of spring. This whole island bursts into bloom in the spring. Oh, if only you could come hunting with me.
Well, I had planned a 3 weeks holiday here in Corsica, but now...
Now you feel you must go back to Paris.
I want you to understand, Lucien, that your brother Louis is my best friend in Paris. I feel it's my duty to tell him as soon as possible.
That he has a family in Corsica?
Yes. My boy, it wasn't only because I admire this garden that I asked you to walk out here with me this morning. I wanted to be alone with you. I want to talk to you sensibly.
Mm-hmm. About what?
Do you realize that your mother's life is in danger? That your own life is in danger while you stay on this island?
What are you talking about?
Oh, perhaps it has become commonplace for you, but I think it's most alarming. I want you to understand that your brother is going to be a very wealthy man. I know what his wish will be as soon as I tell him my astounding news. He'll want you and your mother to leave Corsica at once, to come to Paris.
Leave Corsica? Leave my home? Oh, are you crazy, monsieur?
I'm being sensible. There are 29 people on this island who would cut your throat tomorrow, both yours and your mother's.
What about my mother and myself? Tomorrow we could cut the throats of 29 of our enemies. Leave Corsica. What do you think I am, monsieur, a coward? A spineless, crawling creature that would crawl into the soft, downy beds of Paris and hide among the effeminate hothouse flowers that belong to the city?
Oh, Lucien, your conceptions are wrong. When you meet your brother, it might be easier for you to understand.
When my brother learns that his mother needs his help, he will come to Corsica.
Oh, but he couldn't live in Corsica. He has his own life in Paris. He has to consider the people who've adopted him. And also, well, there's a girl.
If my brother refuses to come to Corsica, he is not my brother, monsieur. I will know then that it has all been a ridiculous mistake. I'll believe that my brother is dead. No De Franchi would have dishonored his name and hidden from the Gadici.
Not even if he were brought up in a different environment entirely. If he didn't know until now that the rest of his family existed.
But the Franchis have not one drop of cowardly blood in their veins, monsieur. When you tell Louis the truth, he will come. Of that I am quite sure. Look, monsieur. Look, there is a carp. A carp in the brook. There are half a dozen of them there. They always gather over by this rock.
It's so clear. You can see right to the bottom. Why, yes, there's another one.
They live for centuries. Did you know, monsieur?
Yes, I've seen them in France. Carp. With little rings embodied in their tails. Rings which stamp the dates when they were put into the pools.
Doesn't it strike you as strange, monsieur, that we human beings with all our knowledge, you people of Paris with your supposed learning and scientific achievements, can't discover the wonderful secret of the carp? The secret of long life.
I truly believe it will come, Lucien.
Monsieur. Ah, that's what they all say. There's a great stream which flows down from the mountains. Oh, if you could only see the fish then. Monsieur, I know you are anxious to get back to Paris now to tell my brother the truth, but couldn't you put it off for a few days and come with me on this hunting trip?
I feel that your brother should know the true state of affairs at once. Oh, Lucien, you tempt me. Perhaps I will come back. But with your brother.
It will be too late, monsieur. Griffo and I have arranged to go into the mountains early this week. Ah, what a pity. The marquee in the spring. Ah, you'd love it, monsieur.
A pity.
The myrtle and the cistus and the great flowering heath which go right to the mountaintops. You asked me to leave Corsica. Once you have seen it, monsieur, you will not want to leave this lovely island yourself.
Two days later, Pierre Gaudet made preparations to leave the De Franchis and hurry back to Paris, but not without a deep feeling of regret. As he stood at the door of the fort-like house, saying his last farewells to Madame, Griffo and Lucien were leading his two horses to the front of the house in readiness for his departure. It is a bright, sunshiny day, and the first burst of spring is already colouring the mountains in its loveliness. For the first time since he's been under the De Franchi roof, Madame smiles as she gives him her outstretched hand.
It is a shame, monsieur. We have ruined your holiday.
I'll come back.
And my other son, you will bring him back with you. That is what I fear, monsieur.
It has to be. You heard what Lucien said.
Yes. Perhaps it was wicked of me to divide them in the first place. You see, Monsieur Gaudet, I have known what others have not guessed. This strange bond between the two boys, almost as though they were one.
Well, I've tried to reason with your son, but it's no use, madame. Louis must be told, and I think he'll come to you.
Then he will die at the hands of the Gadici. Monsieur, if you would be kind to him, do not tell my son in Paris. Pretend to Louis if you like, but let him live his life without the knowledge of Corsica and his family here. If that boy came here, he would not have a chance. Brought up as he is among gentlefolk in a civilized way, how could he hope to fight the sadistic cunnings and the animalism of the Gadici?
Don't you understand, madame? If I told him that, your other son, Lucien, would be unhappy for the rest of his life. He'd believe that his twin brother had failed him. No, madame. My duty is as plain as yours. Louis is my best friend. He must be told the truth.
As God wills, monsieur. Ah, here is Lucien and Griffo. Your horses are in readiness. A happy journey, monsieur. Perhaps I did not offer you the hospitality I should have, but when you walked into this house, I knew that my secret was out.
Never mind, madame. Perhaps it happens for the best. Goodbye. Thank you for allowing me to stay. For allowing me to get to know my best friend's twin brother, as I have.
Easy now, boy. Easy. The horses are ready, Monsieur Gaudet.
Goodbye.
Coming. Ah, did you say goodbye to my mother?
Yes. Perhaps I should have said au revoir. And to you, Lucia, a happy hunting trip.
I'm sorry I can't come with you.
There will be time enough in the future, monsieur.
Well, all I can say is, may you shoot down the fattest wild boar in the Marquis, and may your hunting bag be crammed with pheasants.
Oh, I've been riding for 24 hours. Thank heaven to think. It's a miracle of miracles.
More than a miracle. But how did you know I was home?
I heard in Corte a most astonishing tale. Is it really true you were trapped by the Frenchie and escaped?
Yes, I escaped.
But how? Old Poletto had it from the peasants in the district that it was Lucien de Frenchie himself who held you up. One of the deadliest shots in Corsica. And you by yourself when I should have been with you.
I escaped, Father. It was a miracle and... perhaps the moonlight.
The moonlight? But I would have thought the darkness...
Never mind. I'm safe. That's all that matters, isn't it?
There is much to tell you, Marianne. For the Frenchie laid a trap for us in the park. But for your quickness of mind, they would be exulting now. However, I have news. Wonderful news for you.
What is it?
We have the chance to strike back. Also from the peasants came this news. Lucien de Frenchie and a friend have gone on a hunting trip into the Chestnut Forest. I know the exact place and the exact time when we shall catch them.
Oh, Father.
And so we settle the score. Before the week is out, Lucien de Frenchie will be dead. Our revenge is almost complete.
Mariana's flashing black eyes widened when she heard her father's news. Was it excitement? Or was it fear that shadowed her face? Already her mind was reverting to a bright moonlight night in the park. A young de Frenchie with a gun. A de Frenchie who told her that her face was like a pale blue mist in the moonlight. You will hear more of this in the next chapter of The Corsican Brothers.